We are taking a one-week break from our series in Revelation. We're getting very near the end of that book, and Pastor Eric wanted to tackle those when we were all together. He didn't want to miss out on the end of Revelation after everything we've gone through. And so this week, we're looking at a different book of the Bible. So if you would open your Bibles to Habakkuk, the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. That's the pronunciation I'm going with for today. There are a few different ways you could pronounce this. And so as you track down, I didn't bring a pew Bible up here, so I don't have the number. I'm sure it's the page number. If you find it, you can holler out. 9/11. All right, there we go. So when I think about Habakkuk, for some reason, God has just laid this book on my mind recently, and so the last month I had been just kind of reading through it and meditating on it. And so when Eric said, you have a free Sunday and you can kind of preach from whatever text you want, I said, well, I don't think I've ever heard a sermon on Habakkuk, and I know I've never preached one on it. And so we're going to dive into Habakkuk today. When I read Habakkuk, it takes me, I think, to really get this book. You have to go to a place in your own life where the bottom drops out. You have to go to this place in your own life where, and I'm sure each of you can think of these times or places, where you hear someone say something and it's a gut punch. Maybe it's a diagnosis that you weren't expecting, and the doctor says cancer. Maybe a family member calls out of the blue, and you can tell right away that something is not right, that somebody from your life is now gone forever. When I think about those times in my own life, I think about sitting in the 9th floor of St. Mary's in 2007. Sarah was just over 20 weeks along in the pregnancy, but it was clear that something was wrong, that her water had broke. And as we sat there and waited for the doctors to give us the news, you could tell, and maybe you've been in this scenario before, where you know it's not going to be good. And the doctor, at least in my memory, the way I remember it, the doctor comes in and says, well, you know, we can try to do this to slow down the labor, we can try to do this to stop things, but ultimately this baby is probably going to come sooner rather than later. And at this stage, he's just a little too young to make it. And you feel like the bottom drops out. The prophet Habakkuk knew that feeling. The prophet Habakkuk was sent to the people of God in the last days of the southern kingdom of Judah. This is around the time of 600 BC. And before we can dive into Habakkuk 3, I just want to say a couple of words about what's going on in Habakkuk 1 and 2. I would encourage you, you know, if you ever want to feel like you're making good headway in your Bible reading, read the Minor Prophets, because you can knock it out in about 20 minutes. And I read a whole book of the Bible. And so go back and read Habakkuk 1 and 2 if you get the chance. But this is essentially what happens. Habakkuk, like many of the prophets, has been preaching God's word to the people, and all he gets is rebellion, refusal to listen. And so Habakkuk, in Habakkuk 1, goes before God and says, God, how long are you going to let these wicked people, the people of Israel, run rampant and just ignore you? They're involved in idolatry. They're involved in horrible abuse toward one another. God, when are you going to step in and act and do something about this problem with your people? What's going to happen? And so God says, the Babylonians, this whirlwind of a people that are even more evil, Judah, Israel. And for Habakkuk, the Bible exactly pops out because he wanted God's utter destruction and ruin of God's people, of God's city, of what he sees for his people. And after wrestling with this, Habakkuk 3, read Habakkuk chapter 3. I'm reading from the NIV 2011. It's a little bit different from your pew Bibles if that's what you're using. Lord, I have heard of you, verse 1, a prayer of stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, the Holy One, remember mercy. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him, pestilence followed his step. The ancient stood and shook the earth, but the age-old hills collapsed. But the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against? Did you rage? You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Currents of water swept by still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed. You crushed the leaf. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head. When his warriors stormed, you trampled scatter us, glowing the great waters. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs. A nation invaded. Yet I will wait. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and yet produce no food, rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is on the heights. This is Habakkuk's prayer. This is the word. His song, his. This morning, I want to observe three things from Habakkuk. Called to do, I think, help us out. What we're called to do when we are facing life and it seems unfaceable. Pay attention and meditate. Mountable. A few minutes together this morning, we begin to see how Habakkuk is calling us to Habakkuk, most people, faith. From Habakkuk, most people usually know chapter 2, verse 5. This little phrase, chapter 2, verse 4, excuse me. Piece of Habakkuk, just shall live by faith. Times in the New Testament, the just shall live by faith. And so Habakkuk this morning shows us what it means, the three things that he shows us. This is a prayer. Or a psalm that the director is something if you on my stringed instruments. The reason I think that is significant is because it reminds us of the employing through these times. Or of save Habakkuk was not a rational argument, but a song about forward. It tells us that faith remembers God's mighty works in the past. Faith remembers God's mighty works, what he has heard. In this, look at what he's saying in verses 3 through 15, Egypt. It's actually a reference back to God's presence with his people to overcome the enemy and to deliver them from their bondage and oppression and slavery. He says, and so he heard of your fame. Before he even thinks about what's going on in the present, he rehearses, this is what God has done in the past to us. In fact, the command to remember God and remember what he has done is some of the people of Israel over and over in Scripture. Israel, at least 16 times, the people are commanded to remember. Remember what God has done. And after this, not the surrounding circumstance. Doesn't go big or little in my life. I tend to dwell on thinking through what went wrong. I do this in this way, or if this person had play over and over again, the thing that is going wrong. Prayer, the majority of this psalm, Habakkuk is centering himself on this is who God is. And this is what God called to do. But as we go to the Lord in prayer, like Habakkuk, to ask yourself, how much of that time is spent first praising Him? Because I often find that I am actually most comforted in times of prayer, but not when I repeat all my problems, who He is, and give Him thanks for what He has done. That's what I need most. I need Him walking through difficulty, for who He is and what He has done. As a psalm we read this morning to begin our time, it is my help. Psalmist says, I will. Are we remembering? Are we lifting up our eyes to the hills? So the first thing, but secondly, is that faith remembers, remains patient. Faith remains patient. Cult. When I want a picture of somebody who's not so patient, they're in this room right now. Christian gets so excited about doing things, and then once they're there, he gets really tired of them quickly. Mornings, or he'll go to watch, kind of hang out with me while I play with the other big guys. He's not quite, maybe another year or two, and he'll be. I was like, okay, we're on the court with the big guys, right, buddy? Grab some breakfast at McDonald's afterward. So you know he's pumped about this. He's excited. He's awake at like 5 o'clock in the morning, ready to go. When I come over to the side, I'm like, there, and we start. He's like, is it time for McDonald's yet? Is it? How much longer? How much? We just got here. Grandpa experienced this earlier in the summer when Christian went fishing. Very excited to go fishing. And once he's there, very excited to just be on to the next thing. He's told me several times, that's going to be something we take up to cultivate that virtue. Not much different, right? We live in a way that I can get in contact with anybody in my contact list immediately. I'm trained to, well, I texted them, need information, that's why haven't they texted me back? If I want to order any product, Amazon will have it to me now. And so this is partly a problem because God is on a different timeline than we are. God is working out accomplished overnight. You know, this is even as we go through the book of Revelation, you know, sometimes we look at this, we're thinking, you know, how long, Lord? We don't like this. How long till you're going to come? Our bodies are failing. Our culture has such huge struggles. Our church family has such struggles. Different. How long, Lord? Working something in us that cannot be accomplished overnight. And so Habakkuk, I will for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Part of what he's out his purpose is he's recognizing of Israel, which needs to happen. But he also recognizes that this doesn't mean that God turns a blind eye to the evil of the way. It means that God is doing something here that is bigger than just Habakkuk and bigger than just the people of Israel, but that God is the God of the whole universe and he is working. So the question for us is, can you remain patient? That is willing to endure even the wilderness. Habakkuk goes on to say, even though the fig tree does not bud, that there are no grapes on the vines, in the stall fails. And the field, this is extreme. This is the unmaking of all the good taken away, made in his creation of. Can you stay patient even in the wilderness? Faith works in the paths. Faith rejoices in God's presence. Verse 8. This is shift that somehow all of us will spend our entire lives trying to figure out this mystery of how this turn happens. Though there are no pen, no cattle, and everything is coming undone. Yet, though everything I had planned and hoped for, says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful. This is a mystery. This is a paradox that we spend our whole lives learning. Now, what does not mean not being in denial about the bad things that are happening in front of you. Real. Joy does not mean It is very important that we don't mistake those two. I still remember one time on a high school mission trip, UP. That was the first time I saw the Great Lakes. Being from Iowa, I was like, what is this? On this mission, this is like a sea of corn. One of the young high schoolers, you know, maybe you know how this happened. This person somehow was always at the center of drama. And one night, our high school group was, it was a song about joy. I remember that much. It was like, you have got the joy down in my, right? Or some other like high school version, crying. And as this kind of unfolded, it almost became like this battle back and forth. Like, I've got the, so like, is she going to be able to, it just kind of escalates that way. And that picture is kind of stuck in my mind because I think when we talk about the joy here, saying there's suffering, Scripture doesn't do that. Read the Psalms. One of the most common Psalms is Lament Psalms. People taking on here, what is anger, their frustration? See, the authors of Scripture were not afraid to express pain to God. Joy is that when living in denial, stripped away, we see what we truly need. When everything is stripped away, Himself. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Not in the blessings of the Lord, not in what the Lord does, will rejoice in me. Not in. See, God is present in mighty acts of deliverance, and God is present in, God is not absent. God has not just kind of gone off and left His people. God is doing something in this time of suffering, but He is in the good times. See, this is part of God's answer to Job in Job 38 and the chapters following. It says, everything better is God. Why is God not shows up in Job 38? And he asks repeatedly, do you know all these things about my creation? See, creation. It's Job to understand that God. Do you believe that God is present? Maybe more present. Times of suffering. I remember one of the first times that I heard Gary Pruse tell his story and the health difficulties that he walked through. The treatment for his disease was in many ways worse than the disease itself. And I was completely blown away with this. He said, I can't wrap my mind around that. That's the best thing that ever happened to me. And you're forced to ask, who is my source of joy? See, Habakkuk, he makes verse 18 by saying, dear, he enables me to tread on the heights. See, sometimes you go back to verse 6, and Habakkuk talks about how God destroys, that God clears the path, and the Lord crumbles the mountains. But oftentimes, he instead gives us the feet to tread on those, trust in his, on those heights. See, Habakkuk 3, above all, reminds me that there was one who knew more than any other what it meant to be in the wilderness. In verses, have nothing left, but 12 and 13 and following, talks about how God is going to destroy the wicked leader. But when I watched, but Jesus, Scripture, I see that it was not, that he was crushed, that he was stripped, that he was pierced with a spear while his enemies gloated around him. But for the before him, he endured the crushed up on a mountain. And there his feet crushed the serpent. And as he emerged victorious of God, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Remember, remain patient, rejoice. Let's pray. In the good times, praise you. We praise you that you are a God who is working out your good purposes in us. Lord, we confess that oftentimes we endure, but that are not you. So Lord, we ask that we would be shaken in the way that you alone, shaken are our hope, that you alone are our joy. Lord, help us to be patient. We ask that, help us to remember, help us to rejoice. Amen. As we conclude our